The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From AV Services, it is Professor Chuck Hokett.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
Long time no see.
Have you been to any games, by the way?
I'm sorry?
In person, have you been to any games at Comerica Park for this series?
I was just the past one when, was it not Fisher, but the, when we lost 1-0?
Yeah.
Oh, was that that game?
The Verlander.
Verlander game. Was that that game? I was at Chelly's across the street for quite a while.
Oh, very cool.
Getting properly lubricated.
Yes, that's right. You got to get
probably needed it.
And you get the antifreeze. You get the antifreeze. Got it going. Got the fire bombs, whatever they call them.
It's still fun because we didn't lose until like near the end of the game,
yes.
Right? So it was still
very frustrating.
At least a little bit amusing.
Very frustrating.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies. Have you been to any games lately?
Oh, yeah. Well, not. I haven't been to any of the postseason games. I've been to several during the summer.
Sure. But you've been watching or listening.
Oh, yes. Been watching and pacing and hitting myself over the head and eating and drinking and yelling. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't even know what to say.
Last night I just shook my head a lot.
Let's go to the other side of things and ask Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies what's it like to be a Steelers fan this season.
Oh!
I didn't think it was that hardcore. They won last week, didn't they?
They did.
There's a gal who comes to my lecture in a Steelers jersey every day. Almost every, let's say every other
Same
day.
Same one?
I think it's Ward. It's Hines Ward.
Nice.
Long story short, I've resisted the chance to bring up a comparison, even between the Lions and the Steelers.
Tell her to take one of my courses. She gets an automatic full letter grade.
For being which letter?
Pick one.
I don't know what to say.
Depends on how the Steelers do that year, I guess.
But they were projected to do better than they're doing right now. Am I not correct?
Yeah, this was...
They're late bloomers this year.
Rebuilding year?
Rebuilding year.
They're a little slow on the start.
You know, being that I've seen the t-shirt that says the Detroit Lions rebuilding since 1957, every team deserves to have at least 1 year of rebuilding, if not 42 or whatever. You know, unbelievable.
Well, you know, you are a scientist, and you were just commenting thought you were.
Sure.
And Professor Tubbs' comments about eating and drinking, and what were the other things?
Self-emollient.
Yelling.
Pacing.
A scientist would measure the effect those things have on the game, and then we would all replicate those see if they help the Tigers.
If they had any positive effect, we would have won hands down.
Series be over, right?
And you would have been lying in a bloody heap in your living room.
Yes, exactly. exhausted.
In that vein, Jason, I will tell you that a couple days ago, I shaved off the majority of my beard, and I told my nine-year-old, that I did not want to give the Red Sox any power. So after the second inning last night, my nine-year-old observes, "I think it's your brother, Dad. I think it's Uncle James. He's got a beard. It's not helping.
What is it with their beards?
Are they Al Qaeda or
look like Duck Dynasty or something?
They look rather Neanderthal to me.
It's the faux hockey." Copy. That's all.
Yeah,
playoff
that's beard. True. Hockey is the playoff beard.
I personally think they're trying to replicate the Amish.
These guys, they make the Hatfields and the McCoys look downright tame. Yeah.
I'm not going to say what I think of Buchholz because either he was taking a shower between every inning or he hasn't showered in a long time. Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative
Pleasure
Studies.
To be here, as always. Doing? I'm tired.
Yes, you too have been to a couple postseason games.
I've been to two, and I had to give away one.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Jason got my extra tickets for that one game, and they won.
And they won. So scientifically, we have to test their method again.
Yeah, that's right.
We are shipping you to Boston right now, if that's the case.
Get in the car.
I'm buying you World Series tickets, Jason, right now.
I had mine, and I gave them. I passed.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp, where, by the way, you can submit questions. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. So we have some new questions here, newer questions, I should say. And these are kind of close to my heart. Let me explain here. There's a little paragraph. Dear profs, Ages ago, when I listened to your show back on WCSX, that's in Detroit, you'd occasionally do a holiday-themed show. I'm not sure if you still do, but I'm willing to take a leap of faith, send you some questions on one of my favorite holidays, Halloween, in hopes of reviving the tradition of a holiday show. Passing grades or not won't matter as long as the panelists enjoy my questions. Well, then everybody wins. And should there be other holiday shows, I'd love to contribute. Just say the word. Happiest of Halloweens from Missoula, Montana, Laura Benson. It's been a while, but no time like the present to start a new tradition. So questions about the subject slash holiday of Halloween. Let's see what we can do here. In what folktale did a fairy godmother turn a pumpkin into a carriage?
Cinderella.
Cinderella, indeed.
And little mice became the horses.
Until midnight. And then
yeah, until midnight. Right. Then yeah. They changed back into a pumpkin.
God forbid she was still stuck in the pumpkin.
Oh, that would have been really awkward. Really, really awkward. At what fictional school is pumpkin juice considered a favorite drink of its students?
Hogwarts.
Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Absolutely. Absolutely. Pumpkin juice. And I believe, if I know this correctly, you know, they've got the Harry Potter theme park now in Florida.
In
they,
Universal.
They do serve butterbeer and pumpkin juice.
Yes, they do.
Really? Yes.
And they have little Harry like. Potter flavored jelly beans, too.
With oh, the, yeah, that's right.
Pumpkin juice?
Earwax.
Hold on. Yeah, what does pumpkin juice taste like?
Yeah. You know?
Earwax.
No, Shrek.
Tastes like chicken.
Tastes like chicken.
A pumpkin pie put into a blender.
Oh, okay.
Who invented this fictional character? Jack Pumpkinhead.
Oh, man, is it Henry Rollins?
No. Although I do hear Pumpkinhead and think Pumpkinhead of the low-budget 80s horror film that was a pretty big deal back in the day.
Chucky's back. The band.
Was it Washington Irving?
No, it wasn't Washington Irving. I believe
Walt Disney?
I'm fairly
was it
certain.
A band?
It was an American author.
Oh.
And it was an author.
I was going to say Tim Burton, but that's Jack Skellington.
It's a fairly well-known story that has been elaborated in multiple different directions, only known for one small part of the overall story being famous. It became a very, very famous movie to this day. Wow. He wrote many, many books from the land of same name as the TV show a few years ago that was about living inside a prison.
Oz.
It was Frank Baum invented Jack Pumpkinhead was from the land of Oz.
Oh, wow.
Along with the flying monkeys.
Yes.
The Munchkins.
The Munchkins. Am I right, though? There's like 11 Oz books,
yeah.
But there was only one that was made into an actually successful movie, right?
So, wow.
Well, only one had Dorothy and Toto.
Right, exactly. In what year did the term jack-o'-lantern enter the modern English dictionary?
1837.
I'd say 1715.
It's exactly 1837.
No! Man. Jason, you're buying lottery tickets.
You're totally kidding me.
No, I'm not.
You are buying lottery tickets for the rest of us.
Yep.
Holy cow.
And you're also batting cleanup for the Tigers, too.
Yeah, that'd be great. So the term would have come from particularly Celtic or Irish immigrants. And at the time, I'd say, you know, the country was colonized in the early 1700s and, you know, off the ground running by 1837. I think they would have had a pretty good foothold in terms of the country. Of course, they made their jack-o'-lanterns in Ireland out of parsnips and turnips.
Lovely.
Because there were no pumpkins in Europe.
A turnip-o'-lantern.
And they called them bogies, actually.
Bogies?
As in bacall?
No potatoes that year either.
No potatoes that year either? Wow. When they got
they
to America,
rotting.
They
That's
found pumpkins
the
all over the place, and they decided to use
why
those.
Why not?
Yep. Pumpkins and turkeys from North America. What color is pumpkin seed oil? I've seen this before. It's very difficult to harvest.
Is it greenish?
It's greenish, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pumpkin seeds are green when they are
unripe.
Light bile shade.
Lovely.
We are wrecking these questions.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, that's cool.
In what Nathaniel Hawthorne work did a witch turn a scarecrow with a pumpkin head into a human man? Ooh. I've read this story before, but it was a long time
ago. The Scarlet
Pumpkin?
Ago.
No. Good Hawthorne reference, though.
Wow.
The Scarlet Pumpernel.
Let's see. It's a single word as the title of the work. The first part of that word is what a bird might be covered with.
Feather.
And instead of bottom, you might say
top.
So it was Feather Top was the name of the story.
Feather Top.
I'm giving you full credit.
Of course.
Full credit for that.
Sure. Okay.
I just got back from a Chem Club event where we had a contest filling different balloons with smells. And there were different balloons.
Latex.
There was one that was lime, there was one that was orange, and one that was grapefruit. And the student kept answering citrus and getting what I called partial credit because they weren't saying the exact thing, but they said citrus.
Close. It was close.
So I helped you guys. I think you're in good shape.
Okay.
Yeah, feather.
Citrus.
Oh. I think I've already blown the cover on number 7, but you guys already know what continent pumpkins are native to.
North America.
North America, absolutely. A little bit into Central, but that's about it. What are the top 5 pumpkin-producing states? I think we learned last year from the Free Press that Michigan's actually number 6 in pumpkin production.
Doggone it.
Number Iowa. 1 in order?
Iowa.
Not Iowa. Iowa's Idaho? Not in the top
Indiana.
5.
Indiana.
California.
Indiana is number 2. California's number 5.
Okay, I'm thinking Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois
is number 1.
Okay.
Oh.
So far, so good.
Land of Lincoln.
So now we've got 1, 2, and 5.
You have Illinois, Indiana, blank, blank, California.
Ohio?
Ohio is number 3.
Okay, I'm thinking the Midwest.
Pennsylvania? Yeah.
You're following along with the Rust Belt. Pennsylvania finishes us off. Absolutely. It's kind of creepy, actually.
Yeah,
follow
really.
It from...
Follow the rust, and you'll get the pumpkin.
And we're number 6.
They're always rust colors.
And how did California come into the play?
Yeah, they're for... Yeah.
California
they've
has
got
an
everything.
Economy that, if
they've,
it stood alone, would be the 5th most active of any country in the world. So
and
I
they've
think,
got areas where almost anything can grow.
Yep, including artichokes, right?
Yeah, and
that's
avocados.
That's what the TV tells me.
Almonds.
And smog.
Oh, they grow almonds, too. That's right. What is Howard Dill's significance to pumpkin growing? You've heard the name before, Howard Dill.
Pickling?
No, not pickling.
That's a good guess.
He tried the seeds for baseball players to eat.
That's what the Prince Charles were doing.
No. He did something for the first time as part of competition in the early 1900s.
Chucking them?
Not chucking them.
Spitting them?
Not spitting them.
Catapulting them.
This is all pumpkin chunking. Yeah, no, this is you guys are all in the wheelhouse.
Carving?
Carving.
Oh,
I mean, there's something you do with pumpkins that's a primary competition that we don't hear
eating.
About very much. Not eating.
Pies. Oh,
no. Darn. You guys are skirting the issue.
Oh,
here.
Growing.
Pumpkins. Growing those. Giant pumpkins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
The DNA of almost every modern giant pumpkin traces back to a strain basically hybridized by Howard Dill.
And he lived next to, 3 Mile Island, right? Oh.
I remember Laura Ingalls Wilder would milk feed hers.
Really?
Milk
oh, yeah. Yeah, they would actually
really?
Pour milk
it was in
them.
The books?
Little House
what was that doing?
I never
that
read those books.
I think it was...
There was actually a show on PBS a while back about giant pumpkins.
Okay.
And, you know, they actually showed people, pouring milk on them.
Does it do any good?
I have no idea.
I think, if I remember my Little House on the Prairie books correctly, they would actually cut off a little part of the vine and stick it into a bowl of milk.
Something like that.
It would get nutrition from the milk.
Okay.
Okay.
Look at Paul. Look at my pumpkin, Paul.
Exactly.
All I know is that pumpkins are odd, at least from the general perspective of most flowers for most seed-bearing plants have male and female parts on the inside of the flower. Pumpkins actually have male and female flowers separate. So you need to go get the pollen from one flower
and bring it to
a female flower to get a pumpkin to grow.
Oh, so bees are very important to them.
Absolutely. And when we think about that, we will take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
This set of questions comes from Amy DeSantis. And she writes, I've decided to take pity on you and send you more questions. Harry Truman once said that if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. So I've decided.
It didn't work for me.
You mean Buddy.
I got Buddy.
That's right. You're probably sleeping with Buddy right now.
who doesn't? I'm sorry. Hillary's mad at me.
So these are questions about the first dogs, as Amy calls them. What American president is considered the father of the American foxhound?
I did not have sex with that foxhound.
I don't think you should share that.
Washington.
That's right.
No.
He crossed the staghounds given to him by the Marquis de Lafayette with his own smaller black and tan Virginia hounds, creating the American foxhound.
I'll be darned.
Roof.
He did this, but the guy couldn't seem to win a battle.
Well, he's too busy taking pictures
the
of these dogs fooling around. You know?
And we are back. Some wonderful, wonderful questions from Laura Benson of Missoula, Montana. We're going through some Halloween questions. This is our Halloween show.
Sure.
Dave's
sure.
drinking orange pop. Early.
Yes, I didn't. Sure. Little did I know.
What Tim Burton movie character is known as the Pumpkin King?
Jack Skellington.
Jack Skellington. What company processes 85% of all pumpkin in the United States?
Oh.
And for the record, it's not an American company, which is what makes it kind of interesting.
China? Libby's?
Libby's is the correct answer, which is currently owned by what? China. Multinational snack like conglomerate.
Like Yum? Or
it's not going to be an American company. That's the key. Figure it out. The company starts with the letter N, and you see it on
Nestle.
The back.
Nestle.
Yes, it's Nestle. A lot of candy at Halloween time. They're a Swiss company, I want to say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why are raw pumpkins fed to poultry during the winter?
Because you can?
Because they'd freeze in the chickens like pumpkin, like popsicles?
Pumpsicles. You know, the chickens are having problems during the winter months with something.
The cold?
The cold actually makes it physiologically so that they... What?
So that they have a hard time laying eggs?
Can't have eggs.
They have a hard time laying eggs, and the pumpkin helps. Yeah. Pumpkin is in the top five of your what are called superfoods. You get more benefit from eating them than you do from not eating them, something like that.
Well, I hope so.
Well, we've all heard the celery
what
thing.
Are the
you
other
spend more calories
chewing celery than actually getting
it. It's along those lines. It's chock full of minerals. Jack-o'-lanterns are primarily used for Halloween in America, but for what other holiday are jack-o'-lanterns carved? I probably won't need to tell you that if Jeff Boats were here, he would get this easily.
Mm.
The original ancient basis of the practice of Halloween goes back to the very, very old Celt regime. Samhain, yes, is what it's called. S-A-M-H-I-N, yes.
Wasn't that like a band back in the...
It was a band, too. Yeah, that's right. Ooh. Absolutely.
Smashing Pumpkins is a band, too. Is there a question about them coming up?
Yeah. We're waiting. He's waiting for that one.
Billy Corgan.
Jason
Billy Corgan.
The Smashing Pumpkins.
That's right. Yes. So I've blown the cover off of this one, too, because I'm a big fat loudmouth. Besides pumpkins... What other vegetables, primarily in Europe, are used to carve into jack-o'-lanterns?
Turnips,
celery,
parsnips.
Two listed here. Yeah. One is turnips, parsnips, and the other is something that has a similar shape.
Squash.
Not squash.
Rutabagas.
Beets.
Beets. Oh, a beet pumpkin.
I still at our school.
Beet-o'-lantern.
See, I like doing watermelon, personally.
Oh, well, sure, but I believe the logistics of grabbing, let's say, a turnip, parsnip, or beet is you grab the greens, carve it, and then it actually functions like a hanging lantern instead of
a
watermelon.
Or like a zombie head.
Which
like
would be really
head.
Difficult to carry around. I've seen carved watermelons.
I like watermelon.
What city holds the world's record for having the most jack-o'-lanterns carved and lit in a single place?
City?
What city?
Chicago?
Not Chicago. It is a major metropolitan area of the East.
Oh, Boston?
Is it in New York?
Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh,
Boston. Yes. Okay. Although Highwood, Illinois has also made the claim. Boston got into the Guinness Record Book with 30,919 jack-o'-lanterns lit simultaneously.
Wow. Think they'll light them up this weekend?
Grumble, grumble, grumble. Oh, another reason to hate the news.
I believe the Guinness people are the ones who ultimately settle those, aren't they?
Yeah, depending on your definition of the word settle, yeah, I think that's appropriate. Yeah. That was a great set of questions, Laura. Feel free to decide whatever holiday you want to celebrate and send us questions anytime. That's all I have to say.
So what's next, Thanksgiving?
Next is Thanksgiving. Arbor Day.
Hanukkah.
Grandparents'
Christmas.
Day.
Sweetest Day.
Sweetest Day.
We've missed Columbus Day.
That would be Canadian Thanksgiving to me.
Yeah,
also
Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's
Thanksgiving,
right.
That's right. Do you do anything with Canadian Thanksgiving?
No. Not all. Acknowledge it and move on.
Hey, I didn't get my mail today. Oh, it's Canadian Thanksgiving. Greetings, Ask the Prof panelists.
That would be us.
Oh, by the way, we got every single one of those questions.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Oh, of course. Why wouldn't we? Yeah.
Here I sit on my back porch on a brisk California night coming up with questions for your show. Congratulations for your Tigers for beating Oakland. I could never stomach their colors much.
I like their colors.
Some of their uniforms are a little...
The bright yellow is rough.
I remember as a little kid, like, hey, they wear white
cool
shoes.
Back in the day. Yeah. Then the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets.
I think I made some earlier questions that didn't get on the show yet, but I hope this series will be worthy of being read on the air sometime soon. Par for the course.
80% graded shall be considered passing, but I know I'll probably get obliterated and owned by the panelists, like so many Justin Verlanders over so many athletics.
Oh, man.
Warmest greetings, Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. My student sent me a screenshot of the Wikipedia entry for franchise of the Oakland Athletics, and their owner had been changed to Justin Verlander. Very, very nice.
That was good.
He's a stud. What can we say? What was the first company to sell prepared baby food in glass jars?
Gerber.
To this day, it's not Gerber.
Beech Nut.
Woohoo! I think I was raised on Beech Nut baby food.
Well, so there you
are. Are they still around, Beech Nut?
I think they're in upstate New York. I think they're near, along the New York State Thruway in Amsterdam, New York, maybe.
Really?
Okay. Two Steves founded Apple. Who are they?
Jobs.
And Wozniak. Absolutely. An interesting piece of trivia. I don't know this one. This is great. From what university did Richard Nixon get his law degree? I wouldn't guess
Duke.
This. Duke. And of course, Professor Tubbs knows off the top of his head. Now, how do you know that? A son of North Carolina would know this?
I've read it in a biography of Richard Nixon.
Okay. Very
didn't he sleep in a cabin like a janitor's cabin?
I don't think that Duke University broadcasts it.
we proudly acknowledge our alum.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here today to talk about the alums we're going to emphasize next year and the ones we are not going to emphasize next year. Name the six NHL hockey teams named after very specific animals. For instance, example. The Nashville Predators and the Minnesota Wild are not specific animals.
Okay. Are Maple Coyotes, Leafs animals?
Phoenix Coyotes?
Panthers?
I'm sorry. The Phoenix Coyotes, yes. The Florida Panthers, yes.
Okay. Bruins?
Bruins. Those are Bears.
Okay, who else?
The Red Wing Wheels.
Penguins? Blue Jackets?
I don't think a blue jacket's a real thing.
No, isn't that a bug?
I think it's a bug, but it's not a real animal. It's a made-up animal.
All right. Okay.
Penguins?
Penguins, of course. Black and yellow.
Rangers.
The Golden Seals back in the day?
Yes, but no.
No.
Modern teams.
Ducks.
The Ducks. Anaheim Ducks.
They're mighty.
And how mighty. Many? They are mighty.
Not anymore.
There's only one more left, a old nemesis of the Red Wings, usually in the first round.
Blackhawks?
Nope.
Blues. They're not a kind of hawk.
I'm thinking of almost perfect President's Cup season that ended with a Game 7 first round loss for the Wings long, long ago.
Denver.
Everybody
Sharks.
Remembers the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, San Jose Sharks.
Oh, yeah. I believe it was the second year they were in the league.
Yeah.
Yep.
And knocked us off.
Baker horrible, beat Osgood.
That's right. What is the more common name for the instrument known as a slip stick?
Excuse me?
Careful!
But I really want to hear it after the show. Oh my.
Adam's got his finger on the dump button any second.
I think that if there was an engineer in the room, we would know the answer to this question.
It's an instrument? A musical instrument?
No, I said it was an
automotive?
Instrument.
Automotive?
An engineer would know about this instrument. They used to use them before calculators all the time.
A slide rule?
A slide rule, absolutely.
I had to learn how to use one of those in college.
Nice.
I vaguely remember.
Slip stick? Forgot.
Who is the only center in the NBA who also led the league in assists that season?
Wilt Chamberlain,
absolutely. He of the, 10-foot, 11-foot wingspan or whatever.
Among other things.
100 feet, whatever. Between the tips of his fingers.
He defended and scored at the same time.
Whole side of the court.
Wow. He's a triple threat. What was Harrison Ford doing before auditioning for the role of Han Solo?
He was a carpenter, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's what it says. He was literally hanging a door for Francis Ford Coppola when a studio exec asked if Ford, the handyman, could take a break and read a few lines. Wow. There you go. He was
amazing.
A skilled tradesman. Let's see. What famous singer was born Farrokh Bussara? Farrokh, Farrokh, Bulsara. Farrokh Bussara.
Famous rock and roll?
Singer.
Is it rock
I've
and roll?
I've never heard this. Rock and roll? Total rock,
rock
and roll.
Roll.
An icon of rock and roll.
Iggy Pop.
Not Iggy Pop.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. Not Dylan. No. Bob Dylan always cracks me up. He was just Bob Zimmerman. He's like, I don't like Zimmerman. Hey. I'm Bob Dylan. Change your first name to Irving
Robert
or
Plant.
I'm trying to think. Very iconic for a very short haircut and a single mustache. Anything else I give you is going to give it away wild.
No kidding. Short haircut.
Let me give you the
mustache.
First letter of Farrokh is the same as the first letter of his first name on stage.
Frankie Valli?
Not Frankie.
Another something.
I was thinking Perry Farrell, but no.
Nope.
Oh, a rock icon?
Yeah, a rock icon. I can't, I don't know.
Frank Zappa?
You know, he passed away, much to the chagrin of people at the beginning of our waking up to the problem of AIDS.
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury.
Sorry, guys, I couldn't help you too
Farouk,
much.
Farouk, what did you say?
Farouk Bulsara.
Farouk
Bulsara. Yes.
Freddie Mercury sounds a heck of a lot better.
Yeah. Well, depends. Depends. He toured on the weekends as Farouk Bulsara. What distinction does Kathleen Case of Philadelphia have for being born on January 1st, 1946? She was the first baby, born.
Baby boomer?
Baby boomer.
Oh, the boom. Yes, yeah. Exactly. She was the first baby boomer. That's right. Mm-hmm. What car brand has had the Citation,
Chevy,
Corsair, Pacer, and Ranger?
Oh, no, that's Edsel.
For their full-size version. That's right, Edsel. And had the Bermuda, Villager, and Roundup for its wagons. Yes.
Really?
Roundup?
So Citation.
No, as in the pesticide?
Yeah, really.
Chevy had a Citation, too.
Yeah, Chevy did.
And a Corsair.
That's right. Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. Citation
X11
was
not the right
model.
Word. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I got a ticket.
Edsel wasn't such a bad car.
It was a beautiful car. Yeah. Except for it had bad PR. Very bad PR. The Edsel Club still drives by Ford World headquarters. I think it's every summer. We are haunting you, you know, whatever, as they drive past Ford World.
And we still see them during the cruise every year.
Oh, yeah. That's a rare car. That's a rare car. Who was the famous architect that coined the term Spaceship Earth and utilized the geodesic dome in many of his famous works?
Buckminster Fuller.
Yes. Who names their kid Buckminster? Somebody is the answer.
Bucky. To his friends.
Bucky Fuller?
Seriously. That's right.
What American playwright wrote Night of the Iguana in the bar of a Tokyo hotel and the Rose Tattoo?
Roy Finkenbein.
This American playwright is known for a lot of other plays. If I mention even one of the ones.
Tennessee Williams?
Yeah, it was Tennessee Williams that he's better known for. Yeah, you would know it.
He ripped off Roy, huh? Way to go.
Night of the Iguana. In what city and state was Tennessee Williams born?
Memphis, Tennessee.
No, it was not.
New York?
Nope. It was Deep South.
Louisiana. New Orleans. New
Alabama.
Nope.
Deep South. Florida? Any city? No, not in Florida. Okay.
Arkansas.
Natchez, Mississippi.
It was in Mississippi. much I can tell you.
Greenville, Mississippi.
Same as the capital of Ohio?
Columbus.
Columbus, Mississippi is where Tennessee
was. I didn't know there was a Columbus, Mississippi.
I think after 1837, you pretty much can sit back for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But saying Tennessee was an obvious choice. It was not true. Oh, man. We're going to chuckle on that one for a long time. But let's say goodbye first. Professor Hokett.
Goodbye.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye. Go, Tigers.
Professor Roach.
The capital of Ohio is actually O.
Oh, that is true. And Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. Or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Today, Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed by Adam Winbigler, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.